Greetings, cyberspace, and welcome to episode 185 of the Double Density Podcast with your host, Brian and Angelo. Double Density is your home to Tick Tales and Paranormal Primers. Now, first things first, Angelo, you have lived the life of a teenager for the last week or so. So in Quebec, it is spring break for elementary and high school students, and you took the week off and basically lounged around, from what I understand.
Pretty much. We didn't travel anywhere far. We stayed in a little chalet up north. Nice times. Basically read a book, went out, kids went skating. Nice little drive. Actually near the park both you and I have been to recently where you feed animals from your car. But we didn't do that because it's too cold for that.
Oh, so Park Omega.
Yeah, right near Park Omega.
In Montebello, Quebec. Yeah. But you also, the reason I say that you were a teenager is that you also played a lot of video games. So I've had to hear all about your video game escapades over the last week or so. So you've been addicted to Elden Ring, as countless gamers out there have.
Well, I wouldn't say
he's making a sour face as I say this. He's not looking happy.
Well, first of all, Elden Ring wasn't even on my radar because, again, like we've discussed in the past, I have not been following video games closely in the last little while, right? I would get games when they were on sale. And as I've mentioned, you know, I felt playing on the PS4, I was like sort of like a second-class citizen because it was like the first edition PS4 and everything felt so slow. And I'm happy to report load times on the PS5, I've mentioned this before, are staggeringly fast. Basically, I've been bouncing between two PS5 games, Horizon Forbidden West and now Elden Ring, which came out about a week after. Now, this is the second time a Horizon game comes out a week before another huge open world game. The first time it was Breath of the Wild, and now it's From Software's Elden Ring. Now, I don't know much about From Software. I know about them. I haven't played many of their games. When I started hearing about Elden Ring, I thought, ooh, this sounds very much for me. Open world, very Breath of the Wild. A lot of people were getting those vibes from it. I watched a few trailer videos, a few early discussions. They had done some sort of network test late last year. A lot of stuff. First two areas, huge. And it really seemed like something I would like. The thing with From Software games, be it Demon's Souls, the Dark Souls games, Sekiro, Bloodborne on PS4, they're very hard from what I've seen online. I've watched a few playthroughs of some of these games, not full playthroughs like you do, Brian, but I've watched people play them and they look terrifying. Like I would never want to play them because they seem so hard. But because of the PS Plus collection I have on PS5, I tried out Bloodborne and I really liked the way it controlled. It was very hard.
So you mentioned these games being very difficult. Do you have a running death counter for your Elden Ring playthrough right now?
So my daughter had actually asked me that because she knows I'm playing this game that's really hard. And there's no way, as far as I can see, to tell how many times you've died. I can say that the first major boss, it easily took me 15 to 20 tries.
Okay.
But that's the thing about this game, is that they've done a lot of quality of life improvements to how they approach the game. Yeah, you die a lot of times, but guess what? You're going to respawn not too far from that. And the penalty for death, I guess it can suck if you're not careful. In the game, you collect runes, and that's the currency for everything. So you use runes to level up, but you also use runes to buy things from merchants and all kinds of other things. And if you die, you lose all your runes with one chance to get them all back. But if you die before you get to the spot you died at previously, you will lose all of them. Now, if you're careful, and I've been doing this, is I level up or spend them before I approach anything too dangerous. But I have done it a few times where I lost all my runes. I'll give you an example of something that happened earlier today. There was like an NPC that said, oh, if you go into this place, there's a monster that will put you inside their cage or something. Anyway, I want to stay vague because I don't want to spoil anything for anyone. But it'll transport you somewhere else. So I tried this, and it killed me. But then I didn't respawn where I thought I was going to respawn. I did get transported into like this hellscape place. And I died there because I fell off a cliff. And then when I went to get my runes, I had about 12,000. I guess that... That's kind of like not, it seems a lot at the beginning, and I'm at a spot where 12,000 is like halfway to leveling up another time. So it's still a decent amount, but I got murdered by some other monster.
How many times have you fallen off of like cliffs and things then?
Not too bad. It's just like, it's actually really easy to control the game. It's not, that's one thing I wanted to say is that, yeah, it's punishingly difficult, but it's fair and it controls really well. And it's like a Mario game, right? When you die in Mario, it's because
you die in real life.
Yeah, also. And then you're reborn in the simulation. But you die, but usually it's your fault. Sort of like we talked about Cuphead, right? It's really difficult, but even though it's difficult, it's your fault when you die. Like, you have to be good. It's like, get good, right? Like, that's what they say, the kids on the Twitch.
Yes. Have you gone into any Twitch streams at all? Have you watched other people play at all?
No, I watch YouTube stuff of people talking about the game. I'm trying not to get spoiled. What I've been doing is when I beat a boss that was particularly difficult, I will go in and watch the YouTube person doing it too. The YouTube person. I sound so old. But yeah, I'll see how people did it. And there's so many different ways of taking on the boss. And I've noticed that I'm playing a melee class, so I'm a vagabond is my character class, although you can just, it's just your starting class where you can kind of change everything. I actually
Is there like a whole tree system there?
No tree. No skill tree. There's different things you want to put points into. And because of the class I'm going to, I'm putting points into is it vitality or vigorousness? Vigor.
You're asking the wrong person here.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm putting it into health, stamina, strength, and one more, which I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'm putting into those three or four classes where my character will be strong. My goal was to wield this Game of Thrones type sword, which is sort of like an homage to the actual throne in Game of Thrones. It's like a sword made of other swords. And one of the things about Elden Ring, which was like a big marketing thing, is that George R. R. Martin came up with the lore behind it of stuff that happened like thousands of years before you're starting. Whatever, it's fine. The actual driving force behind the games from Demon's Souls to this is Hidetaka Miyazaki. No relation to the other Miyazaki.
The Ghibli Miyazaki?
Yes, not no relation there. But he's really the force behind these games, and his goal is to make, from what I've understood, things that remind him of his childhood. He's like a few years older than me, and he grew up playing Zelda and all these things, right? And this game really, and that's sort of what I want to talk about today. It's not necessarily specifically Elden Ring. It's what brought me to this idea of, do you remember, like, you're a little younger than me, but do you remember the days when you would get a game and know nothing?
Yeah, of course. It was always a gamble. Like, you'd look, perhaps, if you bought a video game magazine, you'd see a couple stills, maybe get an idea of what the game would be like, but you never quite knew what you would get until you plugged in, turned the system on, and pressed the start button.
Yeah. And this is sort of how I felt with Elden Ring. I knew nothing about this game coming in, and I kind of heard of things, a few things before, and decided, you know what, I think this is for me, despite the punishing difficulty and how we've discussed in the past that I like to play games on easy. The other game I'm going to back and forth is this and Forbidden West, and on that I'm playing on easy because it's sort of like my relaxing game.
So this is how you take it easy.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. They have similar control schemes. And that's another thing. This game is what old school games would be in the modern age, where you jump into the game and you're just getting vague ideas of what to do. Whereas in Forbidden West, Aloy is always talking to you, saying, I don't think I could do this now. We'll have to come back to this later. She literally says that in the game.
Right.
Whereas in Elden Ring, you have a silent protagonist who says absolutely nothing, and you kind of just say yes or no to certain people.
Okay.
But you know nothing. And there's no, on the open world map, it's literally a map like you would unfurl in the olden days, and there's little points on it. And you stop at these things called Sites of Grace, which are marked on the map, and there's vague little wisps of gold pointing you in a sort of direction for the main quest.
Okay.
But when you meet an NPC, it says, oh, hey, I need you to meet this person and get this thing. That's it. No marker on the map, no idea where to go, nothing. Whereas in Forbidden West, somebody says to do something, it goes on my quest log. If I want to do that quest, I press on it and it shows me exactly where I need to go.
Right. So this is essentially like Angelo's video review, video game review corner, where we now allow you your 10 to 15 minutes per episode to sort of wax poetic about all the things that you're excited by.
No, well, that's not really going to happen because I don't play new games that often. This was something that I decided to get. Forbidden West, like I said, I got because it came with the PlayStation. And this was something that felt really zeitgeisty. Everybody is talking about this, it seems like.
Well, all the memes are about it. I know that someone took a long weekend last weekend, like they took the Friday and the Monday off to play Elden Ring.
You know somebody who did that?
Yes.
Oh, so have they been discussing this with you as well?
Very briefly. We've both had very busy weeks. I don't know if I've spoken about this last episode. I can't remember, but my new obsession right now is a 2D platformer called Grapple Dog on the Switch.
No, we haven't talked
about it. It's like Bionic Commando, except very cutesy. I think your kids would really enjoy that.
See, there's another game, Bionic Commando, right? You would play that game and have no idea what you were doing. I remember... And there's no saving or anything, right?
No, no,
I remember
exactly.
Ending up in the wrong place and we couldn't move forward and we had to reset the game.
Yeah, trying to figure out which base to go to, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. The other game I've also been playing a lot of in real life is GTA 5, Angelo.
Really?
So, no, not really. This is an intro to this. So essentially, after a decade plus of driving, I got my first speeding ticket in the mail on Friday.
Whoa. So this works well with technology because I'm assuming it was a picture.
It was a photo radar, yes. And hold on a sec, I have it right here.
Brian's going to be holding up a picture.
And so essentially, last month, my wife and I went to Ontario to spend the day, and I'm holding this up to you to show you, Angelo, and look at that. It's my license plate and everything, and it's just a nice little $79 ticket for doing 83 in a 70.
Oh, that's really harsh.
Yeah.
But I think with photo radar, I spoke to a police officer once about this and asked, like, you know, with human cops, if you're doing 110, 115 in a 100 kilometer an hour zone, they're not going to stop you. That's like I've heard like the threshold is like 117, 118. And if they're feeling like really like, oh, I need to get a ticket, they'll stop you.
Yeah.
But with this, it's a computer. And if you go past 100, like what's the threshold there? Is it like 101, 102?
Exactly. That's what I was trying to figure out. I guess it must be 10 kilometers. And also to note to our American listeners, yes, we are talking kilometers here, not miles. So, you know. Yeah,
mine's doing 83 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
You're about to go back to the future.
So the worst part of this, though, is that our Canada Post delivery guy, like the van guy, not the regular one, didn't ring the doorbell. So I got a slip.
Oh, so you had to go pick it up?
So I had to go pick it up at the pharmacy, and I was all excited because I had ideas of what it could be, and it was just this registered letter saying, hey, by the way, here's a ticket.
You were hoping for fan mail.
While it was happening, like while we were on the road, I saw the flash go off, and I knew.
Oh.
And then I turned to my wife, and I told her, I think I'm going to take it. And she goes, no, you're crazy. It was nothing. And then so on Friday, I felt sadly vindicated about my lead foot tendencies here.
It's not the best thing to be proud of. Going back to Elden Ring for a second, because you sent me a tweet that made me really laugh. It shows that if you Google where does Elden Ring take place, which it I don't know why anybody would Google that, because it literally tells you 1,000 times that it takes place in the lands between. It says it takes place in Ohio, which I guess is the land between a few states.
I mean, like, listen, like this is definitely a Photoshop, but it was a very amusing Photoshop to me to look at this and see.
Yeah. I love stuff like that.
Speaking of stuff you love, Angelo, let us talk about the upcoming. So by the time this episode comes out, it will have already happened. But right now we are living in the past / the future. There is an Apple event on the 8th with the word peak, P-E-E-K, coming up all over the place.
Yeah. So now look, we're going to look dated with this episode because it will come out the day after the event. But I wonder, like, you always wonder what Apple means with these little sort of nods to whatever they want to talk about. For example, I think when the Apple Watch came out, they mentioned time or something like that. There's like a whole thing about Apple Kremlinology, right? Figuring out what they mean by their invites. And I feel like Apple just trolls people. Like, this whole peak thing could be, oh, is it the AR headset VR.
I hope not. I hope not.
I really
discussed this multiple times. Like, I'm not an AR VR person, so no, I have no interest. That is not the case.
I have no interest in that at all.
Here's the thought, though, and this is something that amused me. Is like, oh, you know what? What if Apple is getting into the digital camera space? Right? They're bringing back the clunky like point and shoots of days of yore.
And I know they don't have a camera, do they?
No, they don't. Well, I mean, like technically, they have camera like devices.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but everybody knows I think years ago the iPhone took over as the most popular camera on most digital photo sharing services.
So you must be really, really mad right now that you don't have access to your point and click, like your 2 megapixel point and click.
I had a decent 10 megapixel Canon Digital Rebel, which I liked a lot. But at this point, it's 10 years old, if not older. But it still takes great pictures. That's the thing, right? They last a long time, these cameras. 5, 10 megapixels, it's fine. But the convenience of an iPhone in your pocket, it's hard
unbeatable.
To beat.
Unbelievable, yeah. So let us, I will allow you the floor to sort of speculate upon what this is, and I will say ahead of time, like, nice job, Angelo. Like, future Angelo, good job. Like,
yeah.
When people listen to this on Wednesday, I want them to say, hey, Angelo, good job.
Well, there's a few things that are guaranteed, and that'll be the iPhone SE, right?
Oh, that's of course.
They always announce that at this time of year, and likely an iPad Air of some kind.
I'm very curious about the SE since my first foray into Applehood on the phone side of things in 2017 was an SE. So I'm curious to see how they're going to update that.
Do you think it'll have Face ID or will they continue with the iPhone 8 design?
I have no idea. And I'm very curious to see because of the pandemic, right? The whole thing is that like they were doing Face ID and now they're thinking about maybe bringing the thumb back.
Yeah, but now they're having it where in iOS 15.4, they allow you to let your phone read your face with a mask on without an Apple Watch.
Right.
I've been enjoying this for ages at this point because I have an Apple Watch. But a lot of people, you know, they go to the grocery store, want to check their list, and they have to put in their code or secretly pull down their mask.
So what I now do actually is I've disabled Face ID. And I use the passcode.
Oof. Living in the Stone Age.
No, not the Stone Age, Angela. I'm very privacy-minded, right? So if ever I get stopped by law enforcement, they can't just hold my phone up.
Oh, that's true. Because, again, Brian, the scoff GTA 5.
No, I just think it also just makes it easier in all of the instances in which I am wearing a mask these days. It's very annoying to have to fail Face ID first and then do the passcode thing.
Well, I'm sure people are hoping for Face ID to be better or something like a new Touch ID. Something I'm hoping for is the announcement of a 27-inch iMac so that I can relax and not worry about like this iMac breaking because it is... It's from 2015, so it's 7 years old.
I mean,
you
bring this up every 3 episodes or so, right? So
yeah, what if it breaks?
It's a constant reminder in your brain.
I know, but
how do you sleep at night?
I sleep
not on a series of boxes of iMacs, apparently.
No, I'm hoping this computer lasts me at least another year, at least until it doesn't get iOS. It never gets iOS updates until it gets no more macOS updates. At least it's working. That's the thing. It's working fine. I have never felt like this computer is slow. Maybe sometimes when it opens Excel, a big Excel spreadsheet, maybe. But usually...
How often are you opening Excel spreadsheets?
Every day.
Right, oh, work, right. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yes, single day.
Sorry, because I have to remind myself that you don't virtual machine and you actually use your computer.
Dear God, no, that would be horrific. The PC at work is terrible. Even though it's only 2 years old, in their infinite wisdom, they bought PCs with spinning hard drives.
Yes, which is like a saving grace for you right now. Whenever you have to return to the office in any kind of capacity.
I'm hoping I never have to return to the office, but I think that might happen eventually. And it'll be a sad, sad day for my computer use.
Yeah, well, here's to hoping that they do announce something in the backyard.
Bold prediction, though, no AR headset announcement yet.
Boy, I hope not. If I am wrong, then I am wrong. But boy, do I hope that is not the case, Angelo.
Sony announced theirs recently, the VR2, and I don't care. Like,
I don't know what the tipping point for adoption would be, and I keep thinking about that whenever I see an announcement like this.
Yeah.
What does it look like, right? Like, the Google Glass failed. I mean, Snapchat had those Snap Glasses that kind of looked weird. what would get the public to join in? And obviously, like, a synthesized push between AR, VR, and then, like, the very constant reminder of the metaverse existing as a thing, right? Like, and conceptually speaking, the metaverse is a... How to be nice about it? I'm not quite sure how to be nice about it, so I'm going to say nothing right now.
Okay. I think the space is great for video games and things like Oculus and what are there? There's PSVR, there's Oculus.
There's the Facebook, there's the Meta, right? And then there's like a bunch of other things that all exist.
People seem to love it. I feel I would get motion sick with it.
Right. I mean, there's that practical consideration, but also the idea of like trying to explain what the metaverse is and like owning virtual real estate in a space that doesn't matter. Like, we're just talking about Second Life here. That's a lot, like, it's an updated Second Life.
NFTs, Brian. NFTs. That's what it all comes down to.
I remember the cursed day where I had to explain to you what an NFT was. Now I think.
And now I know. I know exactly. I explained it to somebody this week.
Yeah. Did you open your phone, copy and paste a JPEG, and said, "There we go, ownership."
Yeah. I basically said it's you know, it's a unique piece of art with some sort of thing attached that people use a lot of PC power to get and cause chip shortages.
Well, a lot of these NFTs, they attach some kind of like physical kind of like item to it, right? So certain bands will be selling music, like physical items of music alongside their NFT and things like that. So it's fine. It's whatever.
I feel like there's a lot of companies that create media announcing NFTs attached to said media. And then within a week,
people getting
apologizing
mad,
for
mad.
It and saying they're not doing it.
Yeah. Coming back to the point at hand, though, like AR, VR, I'm kind of curious to know in the next 5 or 10 years, like what kind of adoption are we looking at? How will this force people to go online or like interact in an online space in that way, right? Is it a cost barrier? Is it like, you know, a practicality barrier, right? Like you were saying, like motion sickness. I don't love wearing a headset. I don't. I've tried it before.
No, we wear totally glasses as well.
Yeah.
And that makes
sense. Exactly.
Although I don't really need glasses to see.
In AR, VR.
Yeah, I don't.
It's like you're like in the
fine.
Matrix, essentially. Your Neo is what you're telling me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm not interested in it right now, but who knows? Things will change, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, the Virtual Boy failed, right? So, like, where are we now?
I don't. If Nintendo can make it work, who can?
See, that's the funny thing is that, like, I keep thinking, like, if a company like Nintendo got on board in the AR VR space, maybe then there'd be greater adoption, right? But I don't know what that looks like again. I don't know what that looks like.
And I just want to put this out there. Everybody calls me an Apple fanboy, but I think I like Nintendo more than Apple.
You do. We definitely both stan Nintendo way more than Apple these days.
And then, like, Sony and Apple are kind of, like, side by side, I would say.
We should do one of those like rankings, you know, like the S tier, A tier, B tier. Like we'll do one of those lists together sometime.
Yeah, like let's say for tech brands of some kind, Nintendo on top.
Because we've done the privacy one before, right? About how much we trust brands with our privacy, right? So Apple at the top.
Yeah, like Sony drops a few pegs with the privacy thing because they've had issues in the past.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, you think I have a lot of Apple stuff. I have a lot of Sony stuff too. A lot of Nintendo stuff.
Angelo just owns a lot of stuff, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I have so much stuff.
Consumerist tendencies, unthinking sheeple, perfect in theory for the AR mindset, but not there quite yet.
Well, you know what I don't own, Brian? I need to own a UFO.
That is fun. The perfect segue, Angelo, into heading on to the paranormal side of things. Gee, it almost sounds like you set that one up for yourself and I. So I will see you on the other side of things.
Great.
When I befriended a group of aliens just 3 years ago, I was lost. Do you believe in a cool group of down-to-earth aliens who love to hang out, have fun, and have great ideas about what kind of food you can eat?
No, that's crazy.
Double density. Welcome back to Double Density, and as always, we are switching gears from tech to the paranormal. So this week, the only story on the docket is a very intriguing one. So I sent you a Vice News article entitled, "Here Are 20 Years of UFO Sightings We Got from the Canadian Government" by Daniel Otis. So this came out earlier, on March 1st, 2022. So it's an info dump of 300 pages, or rather 290 pages of documents requested from Transport Canada. Detailing how various officials, including people like pilots, soldiers, and police officers, have seen things in the sky, including a very intriguing July 2021 report about how right off of Anticosti Island, so basically where Gaspé is in Quebec, so where the Gulf of the St. Lawrence is, multiple Planes saw a bright green flying object that flew into a cloud and then disappeared.
Makes me think of the O'Hare thing. Anytime multiple airplanes see things, I always go back to that one. That's one of, as you know, it's one of my favorite UFO stories is the O'Hare UFO. But there's some really good classic Canadian things in here too. And some I'd never heard of. For example, the one you just mentioned, I'd never heard of that one. And what I like about stories like this is that these are all really credible witnesses.
Well, I think someone gets interviewed and during the piece and says, you know, a lot of these people have no reason to present a false report. If anything, it reflects negatively upon them to do so, right? So
yeah, John Williams.
Yeah, if someone's going out of their way in order to mention these things, then they probably have some kind of basis for it.
There's no reason for a professional to make themselves sound nutty.
Exactly. And a lot of these viewings are all across the country, right? So in the prairies, Ontario, Quebec, the Maritimes, et cetera, so kind of a little bit everywhere.
Anything in Ohio? Big dragons.
Clearly
there,
you need a geography exam to understand where Ohio is located.
I couldn't help think about the opening scene of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where the air traffic control is talking to the pilot saying they saw something and he didn't want to report it.
Right.
But now people are feeling more comfortable reporting things. Although these go back quite a while back. I mean, they even mentioned Shag Harbor.
Yes, they do. But I think they're just they're referring to a Maritimes encounter, and then like the article was throwing back to Shag Harbor.
Yeah, and the thing though is that it seems like Transport Canada sort of wants to distance themselves from this because there's a statement from them saying that they don't typically investigate these phenomena at all, really, unless they're credible threats.
So basically what they've done is they have Vice, through putting in access to info requests, has managed to capture almost all service. So service being an acronym for communication instructions for reporting vital intelligence sightings.
And that's American though, isn't it? From what I understand?
Exactly. So all service reports that occurred in Canada.
Okay. And I mean, there's stuff that was reported by NORAD here. Things caught on radar. But again, it's calculated as not being an actual threat of any kind. So, and for example, this one, the one that I mentioned here, there was like an object found at 12,000 feet. And even though there was independent radar hits, they figured it was weather and not an actual object, even though there wasn't really any weather event anyway. It makes you wonder why things get so quickly just pushed aside.
Yeah. Speaking of weather events or rather UFO sightings that were blamed on weather events, I recently recorded an episode that will be coming out after this one of Our Strange Skies with Rob, where he and I talked about the Plasmon Adventure sighting as well as certain other ones and in Quebec. And weather was always one of the theories behind the Plasmon Adventure sighting in terms of like the shifting weather patterns in the sky because it was getting colder, et cetera, et cetera.
We have some wacky weather patterns here.
We do. Not as bad as like a Chinook or something, right? In Calgary and Edmonton, which I've gone through a couple times. It is very, very weird to start your day off in shorts and then end up wearing a snowsuit.
Yeah, just temperatures can rise and fall so quickly. I hate that because that's when wind happens and wind is not my friend.
Angela, your hate affair, like it's not even love hate, it's just a straight hate affair with the wind, especially with you living out in the country, right? Because I have, you know, there's buildings around me that kind of protect me from certain things. Even though like the electrical grid that I am on is relatively old and thankfully not recently, knock on whatever wood I have around here, hasn't gone down, but still I lose power fairly often for like an urban area.
You know, we were talking about UFOs, but the cabin I stayed in, it wasn't really a cabin. It was an old rectory next to a church.
Why didn't you say anything?
Yes, okay. Now, we're kind of going off script here. We're going to talk about UFOs, but
Who cares? This is our podcast.
You reminded me because we did lose power briefly on Wednesday morning, although they had a generator, so it kicked in. What was weird about the generator is it actually generated power for only a few things in the house.
So this was one really electrical grid, or rather, like one. Like, how do you know how that worked?
No, not really. But like, I know the fridge stayed on, but the stove wasn't working. It was a gas stove, but you need electricity to power certain parts of it. So we couldn't finish cooking our bacon, unfortunately. It was very sad.
You didn't just use a lighter to sort of heat
the bacon? No, we couldn't really do that. No. But the house was very old. I think it was built quite a while ago, but it kind of was being used more in the 1940s, but it seemed old. Original floors and stuff, very creaky. So a few weird things happened, but nothing I would constitute as haunting or anything. But I can see how somebody that didn't think like me and was more towards the believing side of things would have totally thought it was a ghost.
You didn't try to do any EVP recordings? Nothing at all?
None at all. No, my daughter was very excited. So there was a wall, and it looked like a wall. It was quite hidden. There was a painting on it. And then she noticed a little latch, and she undid the latch, and it opened a passageway to the basement.
No.
Yeah, it was a really creepy-looking basement.
Did you find any haunted dolls in there?
No, kayaks.
How did you not bring this up? How did you not bring any of this up?
Well, I'm bringing it up.
I know, but in our texts, all
I know. I'm surprising you on the show. Isn't that fun?
It is. Just like this is amazing. Like, I have a parking ticket or speeding ticket, and you have an entirely theoretical a hot space for an encounter.
Okay, so look, these are the two creepy things that happened. Well, not necessarily creepy, but one is worse than the other. So the first, the one I feel is arguably worse and could lead towards somebody thinking the house was haunted. While we were having supper, I think, behind me, there's a wall of plates just hanging. Okay, just like decorative
plates. Like commemorative plates?
Yeah, decorative plates. You know those blue ones?
Yes.
Those white plates with blue. Okay. We're having supper. All of a sudden, one just fell off the wall.
Did it smash?
No, it didn't break. But somebody could have constituted thinking it flew off the wall, right? So like that's how things right. sort of snowball into poltergeist events. And that's kind of what I talked about is that, you know, if a kid was in that room, they would have said it flew off the wall and they would have had to call in like the Ghostbusters or whatever, because kids, that's how poltergeist hauntings happen, right? Is kids just lie about them. Or just
so what you're
things.
Saying right now is essentially. Before I forget, did it smell like sulfur at any point?
Never. It actually
no
smelled
sulfur.
Quite nice in the house. It was very well maintained, despite being very old. That was another thing, is that the floors were the creakiest floors I've ever experienced in my life.
Who chose this?
So my brother-in-law and his wife rented the place, and they invited us there. We did not even pay a penny for it. So we
so
stayed there.
Essentially were a guest, and
we
you
were
did not
freeloaders.
Did not perform any EVP recordings.
Unfortunately not.
Seances, nothing. You didn't bring a Ouija board.
No, and they are very logical, straight laced people with PhDs and stuff. So they don't believe in any of this either. They thought it was kind of funny. Now, the other thing that happened just before we left is that the house key that was always in the same spot completely disappeared. We spent, I think, almost an hour looking for it. And it ended up under somebody's bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, the logical explanation...
Do you think
it's
one of the kids playing a trick?
No. The actual probably explanation is that my brother-in-law probably forgot it in his pants, and when he put his pants away, it fell out, and it went under the bed. But, again,
you're
see
weaving
how somebody...
boring narratives here.
What's that?
You're weaving very boring narratives here, Angelo.
Well, that's the thing. For me, a skeptic who doesn't believe in any of this, they become extremely boring. But let's say someone who was a full-on, you know, I love mediums and things like that believer, they would have thought the place was haunted with the priest. Like, there were creepy pictures on the walls of stories about the house, how it burnt down at one point and then was rebuilt. And it's still next to a working church. So the house is owned by a couple, I guess. I think they were from Toronto because their number was a 416 number. And the church next to it is still actually a functioning church.
Coming back, of course, to the Vars article, the topic at hand, or the master topic to which we decided to dedicate the paranormal spot to, one of the things I really enjoyed is the mention of course, researcher Chris Rutkowski, who's a pillar of the Canadian UFO scene.
He's one of my favorite UFO researchers. He's not stuffy or annoying or pretentious at all.
No, I did find it interesting that he regularly receives these kinds of reports.
But now he doesn't
sources.
Anymore for some reason.
Yes, it's true that there was an abrupt halt. He didn't mention when, though, but I was kind of curious to know when.
I think it was 2021 that was the date I saw.
Okay, mid-2021, yes.
Yeah.
I find that was very, very curious to read how the flow just stopped. And I don't know if it's one of those things where it's just a lack of resources or just a newer form of like hostilities against the entire concept, right? Because the Canadian government has made it clear that they have no interest in doing anything about this.
I think maybe Elizondo had a hand in this. He's a competitor.
Oh, you think that like the Americans strong armed him?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
A good theory, bad in practice, totally unbelievable. Just like a lot of these UFO sightings that I clicked around on. Some are more vague than others. I don't know if you had a chance to like go through any of them.
Yes, and the thing is that they're believable in that the person saw something. I don't think anybody's lying here. They saw something. But did they embellish? Did they completely misconstrue what they saw and was actually an airplane? Because sometimes when you're looking at something from a different angle,
I've never piloted a helicopter.
No, sorry. Have you ever been driving and there's an airplane that looks like it's just floating in the sky, not moving because of the angle you're at?
Yes, absolutely. I've seen that.
It's such a weird phenomenon. We thought that the simulation was broken.
And now you're just realizing that it's just a regular airplane. Or rather, you realized it at the time. You still think that.
Yes, no. It was just odd because we were looking at it and wondering what the heck was going on.
I mean, like, if the Earth is flat, though, it makes sense if you're in parallel.
Yeah, and it could be, has to be careful not to hit the ice walls.
Exactly. Oh, I forgot to mention this in the tech side of things, but I also, so my wife and I went to rural Ontario yesterday to do the groceries somewhere new, as well as pick up some cheaper gas because it is cheaper in Ontario than it is Quebec. And as we were coming into the small town we were visiting, a 150 to 200 person convoy of Freedom Convoy people was leaving.
I heard about that. Yeah,
using the driving. Hockey sticks in the back of their pickup trucks to fly various flags with a lot of swear words on them, actually.
Yeah, they're really upset about...
I'm not quite sure what they're upset about anymore.
No, because like all these restrictions are kind of ending really...
Despite it not being the best idea in theory?
Yeah, they're ending gradually, but they're still ending. And people like me who don't like seeing other people will have to start seeing other people again.
So have you planned a new set of excuses for when you want to see people, or rather when people want to see you?
I don't know. It's going to be hard. It's like...
They know where you are. That's the problem, right?
I know. We've seen people this week, which was pleasant, though, so that's okay.
But you've hit your limit there.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So what you're saying is if we were to re-rent the Airbnb, you wouldn't want to come along and do some EVPs?
Probably not. Well, yeah, we're already trying to... to plan my daughter's birthday that she hasn't had a birthday get together since 2019.
So she's hoping for something good.
So she's hoping, right? Because every time her birthday would come up, like COVID would flare up again. So
what are you planning? Is she around the room? Can we talk about it?
She's in bed, but yeah, no, I don't think I don't know what we're going to do. We'll see. You're not invited though, Brian. Sorry.
That's fine. I don't even want an invite to a child's birthday party. It is beneath me.
She's going to be 13. Ah, that's terrifying.
The fact that you have to deal with the mini adult soon enough.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God.
So hit up the link in the show notes to read the Vars article, as well as the bottom of the article. You can see the 290-page excerpt of everything that was offered up to the Vice reporter from Transport Canada, as well as, what is it, Curvis? Service? Service.
Sir, I don't know. Does the C, the S sound C, or the C sound C, or the K?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really, really good question, right?
If you put that in Wordle, would you win?
I mean, it is communication instructions, right? So communications, okay. I don't know. Let's start out there. If you know how to say the word Curvis or service, __ over.
Service sounds Twitter. Better, actually.
Service does sound better.
Sounds like a real word.
More a nice lilt to it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to come up with the acronym and then kind of like shoehorn in the words.
Right. Well, I was explaining to Rob on Our Strange Skies that in French, UFO is OVNI, right? So, objet volant non identifié, which I love. I love the way it rolls off the tongue. It's very lyrical when you say it.
It's pretty. Yeah, it's a nice word.
It's a lot better than UAP.
Oh my gosh. I was just about to say that. UAP is WAP.
Yeah. Versus OVNI, which sounds great when you
say it. UFO sounds weird. Nobody says that.
I've heard a couple of people say that, unfortunately. So
Yeah.
Wonders never cease to amaze us, Angelo. I feel like this is a great place to end episode 185 of the Double Density Podcast. How do you feel about that? Do you want to keep going on about Elden Ring? Do you want to do like a bonus episode?
No, I'm going to go. I'll play some more Elden Ring sometime this week and maybe report back to you. Maybe I'll have it finished in a couple of weeks when we record again. Maybe.
Pray that that is the case. I no longer have to hear about it. Angelo, I would love it if you did a Let's Play. I would like just you on Twitch just being very confused about everything. And just
can I even do that with a PlayStation? I don't think so.
I mean, like, you can if you get your hookups in, like, in yeah, your video in outs, your HDMIs
nah,
set up.
Happen. Nah, nah. I do. I've mentioned to you before, I've been following somebody play. Like, so he played on Twitch, and then he edits the streams into a YouTube thing, and he's very funny. So
a lot of Twitch streamers take their VODs, cut them down, put them onto snackable YouTube.
So it's fun to watch, and he's very funny. So,
do you want to shout him out? Do you remember his name?
It's Oboe Shoes, which Oboe is a Shoes. Weird name. Yeah, but I sent you the link. Watch him. He has good stuff on his... I'm watching it on his second channel because he's just playing through Elden Ring like every day. On his other channel, he plays through old bad games and then makes fun of them. Or he plays through good games and has really funny commentary. So, okay, because of him, I ended up buying the Hitman 1 and Hitman 2 because he made it seem so much fun. And Hitman 1 and Hitman 2 are very fun.
Okay, well, there we go then. A shining, ringing endorsement, Angelo via Oboe Shoe.
Oboe Shoes Games, yeah. I'll put a link in the show notes, and maybe listen to the show. Maybe. Maybe he lives in Ohio.
We could tweet at him.
Oh, yeah, I have to find this Twitter.
We have the power of the internet all over the place.
Yeah, I'll find, I'll put the thing in the thing.
All right, Angelo, you know what time it is. I already gave you a head start by mentioning our Twitter a couple of minutes ago, double_density. Give us the socials. Give us the website. Give us where people can find us. Tell us what you should be doing.
Yeah, well, go to doubledensity.net because there you'll see our happy, shiny faces. You can actually email us from there. And there's a form you fill out and then goes right to our email address, which is great. You can find me at Angelo Fioren on Twitter and nowhere else because I don't really use anything else. I even stopped using Instagram. What about Brian? Brian, where do you find you?
You can find me at Brian Hasty. I was also hoping that you would list off the Instagram, right? Double Density Podcast.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Of course you did. Of course you would forget all about our social accounts. And then as always, if you feel so inclined, I'd love it if someone left us a couple of reviews on the podcast store, the iHeartRadio podcast.
iHeartRadio? Is that a thing?
It is.
Huh. Have you ever
listened to podcasts? Do you know what iHeartRadio is?
Yeah, well, it's like the radio stations, though.
Yes, correct. But they also have a podcasting platform.
Really?
Where have you been? Yes.
Oh. Oh, well.
Huh. Ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what I put up with when I make an episode of Double Density and have to sigh heavily into my microphone as I sit here quietly seething at Angela not knowing the podcasting landscape.
Sorry, everybody.
This has been it for a very frustrating episode 185 of the Double Density Podcast. Tune in next week as Elden Ring coverage week 8 continues onwards and upwards. Angelo, great. I will see you there, friend.
See you there.